Can anybody hear her? Can anybody see? Or does anybody even know she's going down today? Under the shadow of our steeple, with all the lost and lonely people, searching for the hope that's tucked away in you and me. Does anybody hear her? Can anybody see?
This is Pastor David Lamb of Revival Tabernacle in Richmond, Kentucky. I'm also a proud affiliate of Holiness Missions to America. The lesson you are about to hear contains one of the many principles upon which HMA was founded. We pray that it challenges and changes everyone that listens. May God bless. Micah chapter 7, verse 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. One more verse, Revelation 21, verse 1. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I'd like to talk to you for just a few moments on walk away from the sea. The sea or ocean takes up about 3/4 of the earth's surface. It is something that the Bible refers to many times. The word sea appears in 353 different verses in the King James Bible. It is used both literally and figuratively. Now, I will venture out into territory that some scholars say I have no right to venture. They tell me that to press the symbolic nature of certain verses is unjustifiable. Yet I feel I've got the right and the authority to do so according to the Word of God. The sea is the type of perpetual unrest. Continuously the sea tosses and turns. The waves reach high into the night air only to bring a strong arm down upon the beaten and battered vessel that dares sail her surface. Shaking, disturbing, agitating, and tossing as a man taken with convulsions, so it is with the ship who challenges the sea's fury. How many lives has the sea taken? How many poor, wretched souls have taken the sea as a means of vacation or sport, only to find it to be their grave, their salty cemetery? How many vessels lay on its bottom right now? Imagine the great and small vessels alike that have been swallowed up by its depths, laying on the bottom of the sea. They all look the same. There are no great ships, no small ships on the seafloor. Only broken ships. Only torn, used to be vessels that had precious cargo, precious substance on board, yet never made it to its destination. Whether it be the mighty Titanic or the fishing boat that never made it back home, the sea brought both to a disturbing end. The sea symbolized the political disturbances out of which the beast arose. Revelation 13 and 1 says, And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. So from a sea of distress, a sea of confusion and pain, the beast arises. This great enemy of God will arise from the sea's depths. It's using it as figurative, referring to the people. He's going to rise up from a great sea of people, and he's going to be the enemy of God. Now, I'd like to tell you about another occurrence that we find the sea being referred to. Jesus had fed the multitudes with the fish and loaves. He knew that they were going to try and make him a ruler, so he slips away into a mountain to pray. He instructs the apostles to take a boat and sail the Sea of Tiberias back towards Capernaum. While upon the sea, the Bible says in Matthew 14, 24, But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Mark said they were toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And John said it was now dark, and Jesus was not come. Out on the sea, the disciples were being tossed with contrary winds. They were toiling and rowing due to this strong wind. Then there was the darkness. But the worst thing of all was that Jesus had not come to them yet. Fearful of their lives, yet feeling alone without Christ's protection. Have any of you ever been there?
How many times have we been in the exact same position? The winds of change, the winds of trouble blowing against our vessels. We're tossed and driven with the fierce blasts of the sea. Nothing is certain. And it's now dark. Blackness surrounds us. Our lives become hazy. Our vessels seem to be filling up with water. But worst of all, the worst thing being we feel an absence of God. One of the most beautiful scriptures in the entire Bible is found in Mark chapter 6 verse 48. The Bible said concerning these disciples toiling and rowing, these despondent, these men that were fighting for their lives. Mark 6:48, the Bible said that Jesus saw them toiling and rowing. I need to encourage you today. While they were on the sea being tossed, while they were on the sea fighting for their lives, while they felt alone and without God, Jesus was standing on a mountain looking into the night to see where His children were. Oh, these men had seen storms before, but never a storm like this. These men had weathered storms in the past, but never a storm like this. They thought they were going to die. This was a trial like never before. And some of you are going through things right now unlike anything that you've ever went through. But in the midst of their worst trial, oh, in the midst of their darkest night, though they had never seen a tempest this bad, though it was the worst storm they had ever encountered, Jesus was going to manifest Himself in a way that He had never manifested Himself before. He came to them walking on the sea, on the confusion, on the trouble, on the trial, on the problem, on the hurt, on the pain. Jesus began putting Him under His feet. What was He doing? He was coming to save His children. You listen to me today and you listen to me carefully. You may be in the worst trial of your life. You may be upon the sea right now. It may be something that you have never been through before. But I promise you, Jesus is going to show Himself to you in a manner that you're not going to believe. He's going to show Himself to you in a way that you have never seen before. God is getting ready to do something mighty for you. It's in the worst times of our life that Christ walks on the water. It's a stormy night in your life, but it's in the storm that Jesus walks upon the sea. Here is one of the most awesome truths of the whole passage. Christ is standing on the water. Peter cries out, "If it be You, Lord, bid me to come unto You." Jesus says, "Come." So now we see in the worst storm they had ever known, looking at Jesus, watching Him do something they had never seen Him do, Jesus is now going to let Simon do something that he had never done before. He is going to let Simon Peter walk on the water too. I need to tell you that you had better get ready for a miracle. God is going to let you see and do things that you did not know could be done. It's going to happen in the middle of your storm. Prepare yourself, my brother, my sister. God is going to let you walk on the thing that's about to destroy you. You ought to be rejoicing right now, knowing that all things work together for the good of them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. Now I know that the Lord will sometimes rebuke the wind and the waves. I know that there are some storms that we're able to ride out. I know that the Lord will sometimes rebuke those things that trouble us. But the sobering truth is, once He has rebuked the winds and waves of sea, it still remains. I want to look at our text again. Micah chapter 7 verse 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. I see something remarkable here. First of all, Micah says, He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. But in the last clause, something changes. Micah gets personal. The previous three clauses, he speaks to us. But in the last clause, he lifts his eyes unto the heavens And he says, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. The great enemy of man is and has always been sin. It was sin that caused Lucifer to be stripped of his high position in heaven. It was sin that caused the banishment of Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. It was sin that caused God to curse Cain. It was sin that caused God to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And it was sin that brought the flood upon the earth. It is sin that brought us sickness and death. And it's going to be sin that ultimately causes this world to perish under the blast of the Almighty. But here is the beauty of Micah 7:9. Once our personal sins have been forgiven, God bundles them up. And he says in a figurative manner that he casts them into the depths of the sea. The psalmist said, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. But I see you troubled. God has forgiven you. The Bible said, whom a son has set free, he is free indeed. But you're not free in your mind. It reminds me of a preacher friend that I have. He breaks horses. I learned that he can take that bridle and tie it to a stake on the ground, pulling the horse's head down. And he can do that for days and days, perhaps weeks. But it comes to the point where all he has to do is drop the reins and the horse immediately drops his head. Believe it or not, you can do the same thing to an elephant. An elephant that can almost pull a house right off its foundation. But you can cause an elephant, you can train him to such a way to tie his head down that when you drop a rope, the elephant drops his head. They call it ground tied. The elephant, the horse, is plenty powerful enough to walk away. But in their minds, they are slaved to that rope, to that bridle. And some of you, God has forgiven you, but you don't feel like you're free. He has washed your sins away. He has cast them into the sea. And John said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sins. Your sins have been forgiven. God has forgiven you. Many of your friends have forgiven you. All the children of God have forgiven you. Yet you stand on the shore of the sea with tears streaming down your face. You gaze at the troublesome sea which harbors its sin, and you stand there. You will not forgive yourself. You will not cease to sail those stormy waves. You rehearse past sins. You rehearse past failures. You rehearse past mistakes over and over again. You feel unworthy. You feel unholy because of past failures. They haunt you. They haunt you. They torment your every thought. Oh, I'm praying for you right now. You see, I heard a dear friend of mine some years ago. He said that at a certain period of his life, He had come down to the sea. The enemy would not allow him to have peace in his mind over the sins that he had committed in the past. He said that he had come down to the sea and he just stood there. He was looking at his past mistakes. He just stood there looking at all the things that he should have done differently, that he could have done differently. He pushed his boat out on the perilous sea night after night. It tossed him and turned him. It almost destroyed him. And when he wasn't sailing those waters, when he wasn't rehearsing and rehashing all of his past failures, when he wasn't sailing those waters, he stood on the shore and watched the waves crash around him. And it just so happened that God sent Sister Lamb and myself to his church to hold a revival. He said that during that meeting, the Lord spoke to him these words, "Son, turn and walk away from the sea." Hey, my brother. Hey there, my sister. turn around, walk away from the sea. God has forgiven you. God has washed your sins away. We have forgiven you. It's time that you forgive yourself. The slate has been wiped clean. You can go free now. You can start over now, forgetting those things that are behind. You need to reach forth unto those things that are before you. Go forward. Quit allowing the past to destroy your today. I remember the story about the little girl. She'd been raised in church her entire life. But you know what? Being raised in church doesn't mean that you're automatically saved. You have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And one night in church service, she said to her daddy, she said, "Daddy, I need to go pray at the altar." Her dad just kind of looked at her strange, and she went down to the altar and she cried and she prayed and she wept, and she came back and sat down beside her daddy. And he said, "Honey," he said, "did God do anything for you?" And she said, "Yes, Daddy, God forgave me of all my sins." And the dad was kind of skeptical. His little daughter had never done anything wrong that he knew of, had never drank or smoked or cursed. She was just a little bitty thing. And he reached over and he said, "Well, what did he forgive you of? What did he save you from?" And she said, "Well, I don't know. I'll have to go back and ask him." So she went back down to the altar and wept and cried, and she laid there for some time. Finally, she rose up. She wiped the tears from her face. She sat down beside her dad. And he said, "Well, honey, what did God tell you?" And she looked up in her dad's eyes. And she said, "God told me that he doesn't remember." Hallelujah. That little girl hadn't read no Bible. She didn't know that God had said in Isaiah 43:25, "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins." You listen to me, my brother. You listen to me, my sister. You listen to me, children. When you begin to doubt the saving power of Jesus Christ, you are in a world of trouble, because Jesus didn't die to leave you in your sin. Matthew 1:21 said, "In his name shall be called Jesus. He shall save his people from his sin." If Jesus is alive, if Jesus died on the cross, if you've asked him to forgive you, your sins have been forgiven. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what you did. It is time to walk away from the sea. If nobody forgives you, God has forgiven you. If nobody will let you walk away, you can walk away, because God said you can. Your sins are gone, y'all. Don't let anybody hold them over your head. You're free, and you're free indeed. You need to shout the victory, because God has set you at liberty. Turn, my sister, and walk away from the sea. I don't care what your enemy says. I don't care what your daddy says. I don't care what your husband says. You are free of your sins. You need to be rejoicing. God has pardoned you. God has cleansed you. God has washed them away. Oh, the power of the blood. Oh, the power of Christ's atonement. It's gone, y'all. Oh, yes. He doesn't remember them anymore. They're gone. As far as the east is from the west, so far have he removed your transgressions. You can start over. It's a brand new day. Weeping has endured for the night, but joy now has come, because the Lord has forgiven you of every sin that you've ever committed. Oh, God, help us. Now you listen to me as I close this message. The Word of God gives us many precious promises. In the book of Revelation, the Bible says that there are many no mores. That's right. The Bible gives reference to several no mores. I'll explain to you what I mean. After this life, we're going to inherit a land of no mores. Revelation chapter 3 verse 12. "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out." In the Greek, this passage holds a strong double negative concerning this pillar or he that shall go no more out. The Greek says stronger, never more at all. Let me explain to you what I mean, what the text is saying. The pillars in Solomon's porch, they were removed. They were taken away. They were carried off by the Chaldeans. But God says these pillars, these children of God, they will be perpetual. When they enter into that city, when they enter into that celestial kingdom, their glorious state shall be a fixed state, an unchangeable state. When all the pillars of the earth shall tremble, these pillars in the temple of heaven shall remain immovable to eternal ages. I'm talking to you about the glory world to come. As the elect angels are beyond the possibility of falling, being now under the blessed necessity of goodness, so shall the saints be. The doors shall be once and for all shut, as well to shut safely in forever the elect, and to shut out the lost, to shut out any evil influence. They shall be priests forever unto God. Who would not yearn for that city out of which no friend departs and into which no enemy enters? He is saying to you and I that there will be no more parting on that side of glory. Mothers and daughters reunited. Fathers and sons reunited. Brothers and sisters reunited. No one will ever go out. We shall be together for an eternity. Revelation 7:16. Bible said they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them nor any heat. Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Revelation 22:3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. No more hunger, no more thirst, no more tears, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more curse. Oh Lord, I want to go to heaven. You better hold on, sister. You cannot let go now. You've got a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Oh, don't you want to go to that land? As John was beholding this awesome spectacle, as John was beholding this awesome revelation from Jesus Christ, he noticed something strange and mysterious. In Revelation 21, verse 1, John said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." So John says, "I see a new heaven. As I behold this revelation, I see a new earth." But he stops and he says, "And there was no more sea." There were no more waves. There was no more change, no more commotion, no more trouble of any sort. There were no barriers between the people. There was no more sea. Now you're hurting right now. The things of the past, the enemy is using it to beat you down. And I'm telling you, turn and walk away from that sea. God has got victory for you. But I'm also telling you that there is another place. There is a place, and yes. Down here we have to turn our backs and try to forget somewhere in our past that there were humiliating mistakes. We must rebuke the sea at times. We must rebuke its rage at times. It beckons us to remember. But I'm telling you, over there in God's great city, there will be no more sea. There will be no past to haunt you. You have a reason to hold on. You better hold on. You cannot let go now. There is victory for you. There is freedom from your sins. And God has washed them away. But I'm telling you, if you'll hold on just a little while longer, we're going to a place where there is no more sea. Hallelujah. I'm begging you. Let God free your mind in Jesus' name. When it's forgiven, it's gone, y'all. You've got to walk in the newness of life today. When God saved you, He healed you, He delivered you. Don't allow the enemy to pull your past up anymore. God has washed away. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what sins you committed. The enemy will never, ever let you have victory. That's why you got to snatch it out. Jesus, done won the victory. It isn't His will for you to always be fighting for victory. It's God's will that you fight from victory. And I need to tell you right now, lift up your eyes unto the hills whence cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord. And that same God died for you on the cross of Calvary. And He's got healing in His wings. He's going to touch your heart. He's going to lift your heart. But you cannot allow any devil. You cannot allow any enemy. You cannot allow the past to haunt you anymore. In Jesus' name, walk away from the sea. I'm going to pray for you now. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I pray for that precious lady. I pray for that precious man. The enemy is trying to destroy them with the past. But I'm asking you, I'm begging you, heal their minds, strengthen their spirits, and let them see just how powerful the atonement is. Let them see how powerful what you did for them on Calvary's brow really was. Let them see that you have cast their sins into the sea and it's no longer necessary for them to rehash what's happened in the past. It's time to move forward. It's time to work forward. And I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this lesson. I pray that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like to contact us here at HMA, you can write our president, Reverend Todd Sloggett, at P.O. Box 12, Sepulpa, Oklahoma, 74067. Or you can call us at 918-760-1048. Or you can email Reverend Sloggett at SloggettFamilyMinistry@yahoo.com. May the Lord richly bless you, and may the face of the Lord Jesus Christ shine down upon you always.
Does anybody hear her? Can anybody see? Or does anybody even know she's going down today? Under the shadow of our steeple, with all the lost and lonely people, searching for the hope that's tucked away in you and me. Does anybody hear her? Can anybody see?